Well, good evening. How are y'all doing this evening? That's good. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome those of us that are online and those of us that are here. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Get All Excited.
Get all excited, go tell everybody. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord.
Amen.
God. be saved to sin no more.
Praise the Lord.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great Physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of Him this evening? If you want. Okay, three, holy, holy, holy. Yup. Amen. Okay, first and last, first and fourth. We can do that.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. 664, already. Take my life, leave me, Lord. On 664, all right.
Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Amen.
I guess so. Yeah, till next time. Praise the Lord.
I was having, you ever have nightmares when you, I call them daymares, when you nap? Sometimes when you get too tired, you take your big nap in the afternoon, end up having daymares. Anybody ever have those? Ooh, they're horrific. Daymares. I was nightmaring or daymaring this afternoon, and I was getting sucked in a General Electric high bypass jet engine. I used to work for Southwest Airlines. They'd bring these bags, you know, these people would be running late or whatever. And they're transferring from one flight to another flight. Of course, their bags would come down. They'd slide them down a slide or walk them down a flight of stairs, whatever. And they'd have to make the plane. It's really good if they made, you know, it's really good when your bags make your plane, right? I mean, you've all been there when your bags don't make the plane. It just causes a whole bunch of headaches. So number one would already be turning, and they'd be turning number two. Well, the door to get in the belly is right here by number one, right? And you'd be getting that bag, and they're getting ready to push that 737 back, and they're, oh my soul! And you'd pop that latch and throw that bag in there. Transfers always went in the middle. You'd put up your little your little net so it wouldn't come back on the door, and then off you go. I'm telling you, twice I kicked the comforter so hard in bed I thought I was being sucked in that thing. Yeah, you'd have lost more than the bag. You'd have lost your life. They back when we were training back in the day, you know, when you were a new hire, they'd show you videos of that motor running, that General Electric. And they would inject about 120, 140 pounds of frozen chickens through it. And, I mean, that sucker would just eat those frozen chickens and keep on chunking, man. I mean, chicken nuggets. Amen. All right. Praises. Your brother's name is Nate, my friend. Nate. In the hospital. Broken ribs. Did anybody's power go off? Our power went off. It was only off for a brief minute. We weren't even home when it happened, but we could tell it was off because the oven was saying, you need to set the time. So, fractured ribs. Praise God, man, they got enough power to keep us going. It's hot out there, amen? All right. Praises tonight. Online folks, good to have you with us. If you have any praises, just type them there in the discussion. Jeremiah, let me know about them. All right, praises. Anybody got a praise? You can. Give me the praise first. Who's this? Tim. And how did he break his leg again? That's right. Yes. Uh-huh. Oh. Did these guys go to A&M? No, they didn't go to A&M. All right, just wondering. He put it in neutral, yeah. Yeah. Oh. He's a big old boy. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. All right, we'll pray for him tonight. Oh, man. All right. Very good. We'll pray. Any other praises? Yes, sir. Yeah, amen, man. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right. The blood moon. Are you staying up for that? Is it going to be clear enough to see it? Well, okay, I may gut it out. 10:30. Huh? Yeah, I need to go. I'm wanting my bed as soon as I get out of here, man. So that's okay. Got to have a good night's sleep before Monday, don't you, Frank? You got to be ready to hit Monday, man. Can't, Monday, yeah, Monday's coming whether you like it or not. That's right. Any other praises? Ronnie, you driving out of town tomorrow? Uh-oh. Oh, my soul. You completely retired. All right, brother. That's a praise. Oh, man. All right, Ronnie has retired. A second time. He quits and who goes to Washington? Oh, did he? All right, man. You get emails from Biden on a weekly basis? Oh, my goodness. Very good, very good. Amen, amen. All right. Any other praises? All right, prayer requests. I've got Larry Field. This is Stephanie's father, my father-in-law. He fell Friday the 13th about 6 a.m. in the morning and was in the bathroom, passed out, hit that soap dish in the, you know, in the bathtub area, cracked his head open, tore his arm up. He's been in the hospital since then. They think they're going to let him out tomorrow. Low blood pressure, so they're trying to get his blood pressure straight. Sharon Fuller, we're praying for her tonight. She's got, again, high blood pressure running over 200. I want to pray for the victims and victims' families. The shooting in grocery store, it was a grocery store, is that correct? Yeah, in Buffalo, New York. I want to pray for the victims and the church, Presbyterian Church in California, shooting there today. How many? One dead, four injured, and they did apprehend the gunman. And the gunman in Buffalo, New York, they apprehended him as well, right? Didn't kill him, so both of those guys will stand trial. And then I've got the passing of Larry Edwards. He was associate pastor of pastoral care, Magnolia's First Baptist Church. He passed away, what day did he die? This morning, okay. Larry Edwards. I don't know. He had a liver transplant. Okay. Oh, he was waiting on a liver transplant. Okay. And we've got Jeremiah's brother Nate in the hospital with fractured ribs. Fractured ribs. And then Ed Say. Hospital with pneumonia. All right, it's a hospital pneumonia. Got it. I want to pray for this baby formula shortage. This is unreal. Unreal. I can't even imagine. You know, baby formula shortage. Yeah, it's awful. You know, and you know, for us that are all past that and sitting on the sideline, we're like, well, why don't you just breastfeed those babies? Well, you know, one of ours, Trevor, he would not take breast milk for nothing. It upset him so bad. He was so colicky. I mean, it was a formula deal. Vicky, do you have any like that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so, man, these mamas and daddies, I feel sorry for them. They're driving around. And yeah. Well, they're saying don't even do that. Oh, yeah, they're saying. Yeah, not to do that. So, carnation? Really? Cairo syrup and carnation? Canned milk. Well, there's a will, there's a way. Amen. I did not know this. I know I'm learning it tonight. Amen. Diluted goat's milk. Oh, my soul. Well, we did what? What? What did she say? Oh, my soul. We digress. We digress tonight. All right. Baby formula shortage, and let's just say that maybe the word could get out that it used to be, say it again, canned milk and Cairo syrup. Yeah. But, all right. Amen. Well, we'll see. We'll see if there's any takers on that. Amen. That may all be bought out by now. When I try to go get some groceries here in a little bit, I'll look. It's canned milk, Cairo syrup. I'm going to look. Carnation milk, Cairo syrup. All right. Any other prayer needs? Becky's mama. All right. Unspoken. Okay, what else? Yeah, man.
Sharon Heibarger, please continue to pray for Kenzie. She is in intense back pain and in bed mostly, still waiting on insurance and surgery.
Okay. Back pain, bedridden. Waiting on insurance. Insurance and surgery. All right, all right. What else? Anything else? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we praise you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the goodness of it, Lord, and we thank you for your mercies and your grace that we find in this day. We thank you for the love that we have from you, Lord, our salvation. We praise you for that tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're heaven bound and that one day we will be physically with you just like we are physically here. We love you for that. We praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for taking care of our sin debt. Thank you for calling us out from among them. Lord, thank you for your convicting Holy Spirit that alerted us to the fact that we were sinners in need of a Savior. We praise you for that tonight. Lord, we just praise you for all your creative power, for all your creative genius. We thank you for your holiness. We praise you for your goodness. Thank you for being our God. We just love you tonight. So we come to you this evening, Lord. We lift up these praises to you. We are thankful that Tim is home recovering from this accident with the tractor, the broke leg. Pray that you continue to mend that leg, Lord, and be with him as he struggles with this artificial shoulder. We pray you'd work all these things out, Lord, with his leg and with his shoulder, Lord. But we're praising you that that's all that happened with the tractor was the broke leg, that, Lord, his life was spared. Could have been a whole lot worse, so we praise you for that. Lord, we thank you for the blessings on this country, on America, Lord, even in the midst of losing some a million people to COVID and, Lord, everything that's going on in the world. We do praise you and thank you for this land and for this system of government, as quirky as it sometimes is. We're thankful for it. And, Lord, we're thankful for the freedom to express our praise and worship to you as we see fit. We praise you and thank you for that tonight. Lord, we look forward to this this spectacle tonight with the moon. And, Lord, what an incredible display that will be as we seek to view that this evening. So we praise you for that. And then, Lord, we lift up Ronnie to you. We give praise that he's able to go back to work for a short time. And, Lord, he's able to let go of it and retire again. So, Lord, we pray you bless him in those endeavors. We give you the praise for his ability to work and to work all these years. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests tonight, we lift up Stephanie's dad to you, Larry, to you, Lord. We pray for his healing as, Lord, they've stitched him up and he's on these blood thinners. And, Lord, he's just got so many challenges right now. We pray that they might are able to get that sodium level up and get his blood pressure stabilized and, Lord, get him ready to go back home. We pray for his, pray that Larry make good decisions, wise decisions, Lord, about his health and about how he's going to finish out his last days. So, Lord, we just pray you be with Larry tonight. We lift up Sharon to you, Lord, blood pressure issue again, but hers the opposite end, having high blood pressure. We pray that you might help Jean and her find the doctor, find the cardiologist, find what they need, Lord, to get this blood pressure under control and in check. Lord, we pray that you'd protect Sharon from another stroke and that, Lord, when this blood pressure goes up, you would just help her realize it and, Lord, just relax and sit down and take it easy and allow this blood pressure to come back down. Lord, we do pray, as our hearts are heavy, as we think about the mass shootings that have gone on the last couple of days. We lift up Buffalo, New York to you, Lord. We pray for these victims and their families in this senseless loss of life, racially motivated mass shooting. Lord, we just pray for them. Comfort them, God. Help them through this most difficult time. Be with those pastors and church leaders and funeral homes and counselors, as everybody kind of comes together to try to make sense of this and meet people where they're at, Lord, and try to get them past the shock of all this. Lord, we just pray that you be in the middle of that and in the midst of all the hate. Father God, we pray you might bring about some salvations and some gospel seed sowing. And Lord, we pray for some bold ministers and pastors as they get up to officiate these different memorials and funerals. Lord, we pray that you would give them a message from your word, and you would give them boldness to speak about the gospel and about grace and about salvation. And Lord, we pray that there would be a great outpouring of your truth in the midst of all this hate and in the midst of all this loss. And Lord, we pray the same kind of prayer when we think about this shooting in California in this Presbyterian church. Lord, we pray that you be with that congregation, that you be with that district of Presbyterian churches out there, that they would pull together, Lord, and support this congregation. And Lord, we just pray for the victims there as well, those that were injured, traumatized. Father God, we pray that you would see them through and that you would pour your grace and your mercy out upon this situation. And again, Lord, out of this tragedy, we pray that you might bring a great outpouring of your Spirit and a great many saved come to know you as personal Savior and Lord. Heavenly Father, we lift up Larry Edwards' family to you tonight. And we pray for them in the passing of Larry. And Lord, we're thankful for Larry's faithful ministry, his consistent, faithful ministry to you, Lord. And he's been behind the plow a long, long time, Lord. We're thankful for all that he's accomplished for you and how the Holy Spirit's been able to use his life and use him to further the gospel. Father God, we pray that you be with his wife and his kids and just comfort them, help them, be with the congregation of First Magnolia. And Lord, we pray that you might see them through. We do lift up their head pastor up there, Ed Say. We pray for his healing over this pneumonia as he's trying to recover and get better in the hospital. We pray that your miracle hand might touch his body, remove that pneumonia from him, Lord, and just quicken his body, quicken his lungs, bring healing to that part of his body, Lord, and just allow him to get up out of that sick bed and get released from the hospital. We lift up Jeremiah's brother to you tonight, Nate, in the hospital with fractured ribs. We pray you might bring mending and healing to his body and sit him back, Lord, out of the hospital, back to doing what he needs to be doing. Lord, we lift up this baby formula shortage going on in the country right now. We pray that these manufacturing companies and food companies, Lord, that are responsible for this baby formula, that you would kick this back into high gear and help this thing get caught back up. We do pray that, Lord, these formulas for canned milk and the syrup, that those would get into the hands of the moms. And, Lord, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. You can't find what you think you need. Just got to do plan B, Lord. I pray that they'd get the recipe right. And Lord, we pray that babies would not be harmed, but they'd be nourished using these alternative methods. And Lord, we just pray that this would come to an end quickly. We lift up Becky's mom to you tonight. We pray for her sickness. We pray that you might touch her body, bring healing to her, Lord. Quicken her body. We lift up the unspokens to you tonight. Lord, we're thankful that we can mention those to you silently, and we know that you hear us. We know that you care about them, Lord, that your will is perfect, your timing is perfect. And Lord, may we just lean into you and trust your sovereignty in these unspoken requests. And we just praise you, Lord, that even when we don't know how to pray for them, that you make intercession on our behalf. So we love you and praise you for that tonight. And then, Lord, we lift up Kenzie to you. We pray for her back. We pray that you might give her the grace and the strength and the endurance to bear what she has to bear right now with this pain, with this damage to her back, waiting for the insurance and waiting to get this surgery taken care of. We pray that when she does have the surgery, it would be a success, that it would bring relief, it would bring healing to this part of her back. And Lord, she would be able to be that mom, to be that wife. She'd be able to get back to her old self. So Lord, we lift Kenzie up to you tonight. Pray that you might heal her body, give her relief from this excruciating pain. Father God, thank you that we can be in your word tonight. We praise you and thank you for loving us again and for drawing us out tonight. Thank you that we have air conditioning tonight, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. Sometimes we take these things for granted. But Lord, you take the AC away, it'd be a whole different ball game in here. So we're thankful for that cool air tonight. It's in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. All right. Take a copy of God's Word, and we'll be in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. All right. Revelation 20. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. Revelation chapter 20. We'll begin reading here in verse 11, and we'll take it through verse 15. All right. The Word of God reads this, those of you with us online, Revelation 20, beginning in verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." All right, thank y'all for standing in honor of reading the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, before we get going too far, I don't know if I've ever kind of taken you through this. When we were thinking about the rich young ruler today in Matthew chapter 19, I didn't have time to talk about it, but we always have a little more time on Sunday night than we do on Sunday morning. Who do you think the rich young ruler was? Anybody? Anybody? Any takers on that? Oh, you're so close. It is a gospel writer, but it's not Luke. Luke was a doctor. Uh-huh. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Verse 12. I'll pick it up here in verse 11. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Some scholars, and I'm kind of in agreement with them, that the rich young ruler was none other than John Mark. Right? John Mark. And it looks like if it was, he did sell his stuff. And he bought his mama and daddy a nice place. Because all the disciples were what? They all crowded into that thing, man. That's a big home, right? And that house is so big that it's got what? It's got a wall and a gate around it. Amen. Little Rhoda girl comes up, answers the door. "Hey, what's going on?" "Well, it's Peter. I've been freed from prison." Amen. Now, that's all for a bonus. Can't tell you that for sure, but boy, it sure does sound like that the rich young ruler turns out to be the gospel writer John Mark. You ever heard that, Frank? Okay. Well, you heard it here tonight. Amen? All right. Very good. The terrible white throne judgment. That's where we be. That's where we've been. That's where we're going tonight, right? We have already covered that there will be no hiding place from the judge upon the throne. We were covering, when we closed it out last time, we said there will be no hiding from the justice at the throne. So you're not going to be able to hide from the judge upon the throne. You're not going to be able to hide from the justice at the throne. That was the balance of verses 12 through 13. We talked about the many defendants that will be appearing at the throne. Here in this passage, we are told that those appearing before the throne are the dead. They are the dead. This tells us without question that there will not be, we said this last time we covered this, there will not be a single born-again believer in this group. Question why? The answer, the Bible tells us that we who have trusted Jesus as our Savior, that we have passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24. We have been given the eternal, abundant life through, as we talked about today, through the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, we can never lose that or be dead forever. Physical body going to die, probably, if we're not raptured. It's going to happen. But we won't be dead forever. The soul and the spirit goes on, and one day we'll be reunited with a glorified body. We'll go to the Bema seat of Christ, but we will not go to the great white throne. Now, this can only mean one thing, talking about here in these verses 11 through 15. This can only mean one thing. This mass of humanity will be made up completely of those who are spiritually dead. Now, note also that this group includes all the spiritual dead. None is left out. Everybody is included. The great military, the great political rulers, from there all the way down to the very basic bottom of the barrel, private or servant. I mean, you've got the pauper there and the general, the foot soldier, the master. We talked about the slaves. We talked about the borrower, the lender. They will all stand before God. None, we talked about, will escape, and none will hide, but all will face the righteous judge. There's no place too high. Earth and heaven have fled away. In that terrible day of judgment, there will in fact probably be, well, you can almost say without, well, yeah, you could say this. In that terrible day of judgment, there will be lost preachers there. People who put on the guise of being a gospel preacher, but prostituted the gospel for their own personal gain. There will be lost preachers there, and lost deacons there, and lost church members there, and lost popes there. Oh, he didn't go there. He did. Lost popes, and lost priests, and lost nuns, and lost choir members. Lost alcoholics, lost adulterers and fornicators, lost drug addicts and lost pimps, lost pushers, lost grandmothers and grandfathers, lost teenagers, lost moms and dads. And you know who else will be there that'll be lost? Those people that everybody used to tell you, you know, you used to ask the question, well, what about so-and-so? Why won't they receive the gospel? What about them? Why won't they come to church and hear the gospel? Well, you know, they just don't do church or religion, but they're really good people. They really got a good heart. Those same people will be right here if they're without Christ. They'll be right here. Every lost sinner from Cain in Genesis to the very last one, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the defendants appearing at the throne. Now, as we get into some new stuff here this evening. What are the documents used at the throne? There's some defendants appearing at the throne, but oh friend, you got to have evidence. You got to have some documentation. And we find the documents used at the throne, right? Now, verse 13 reminds us that all who died, regardless of where they died, will appear. Everybody will be there, even those who are in the bullpen for hell called Hades or the abyss. They will be brought out for this judgment. Every lost sinner from Cain to the very last one will be there. What are they going to be dealing with? They're going to be dealing with the documents used at the throne. The Bible tells us in this passage that the books were opened. What might these books be? I want to give you a few things to think about as we ask that question. Number one, the first book that will be opened will be none other than what? You're looking at it tonight if you got a copy. It'll be the Bible. the Bible. The Bible tells us here that the books were open, and the first book that's going to be open, I believe, will be the very Bible that we're standing in front of tonight. Jesus himself reminded us that he would be judged, that they would be judged. I'll get it right in a minute. That we would be judged out of his word. John chapter 12, verse 48 says, He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings. What were Jesus' sayings? Jesus' sayings were about the kingdom of God. Jesus' sayings were about you being in the kingdom of God. Jesus' sayings were about you're only going to come into the kingdom of God through me. Jesus' saying was about the gospel. We talk about being invited to receive the gospel, but the gospel is a command to be saved, right? He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So we talk about the documents used at the throne. One of them is going to be the Bible. His eternal, inerrant word. Amen? I believe that this Bible that sinners have mocked, this word of God that they have refused to heed, will be used to render judgment upon their lives that very day. Which means this, it's far better to believe the word of God now and go to heaven than reject the word of God and face the word of God in judgment and go to hell. You're going to deal with the Bible one way or another. You can refuse it in this life. You're not going to refuse it at that white throne judgment, right? So, we're talking about documents used at the throne. Secondly, firstly, we've got the Bible. Secondly, we've got the book. We'll call it the Book of Deeds. The Book of Deeds. In heaven, there is a record being kept of the deeds of all humanity. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne in verse 12. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. One day, every lost person will stand before the Lord, and they will hear the record of his or her life read from the throne. Every deed, both good and evil, will be mentioned. Every sin will be read aloud. Sins of commission, things that they did that they shouldn't be doing. Sins of omission, things that they should have done and they didn't do. Flagrant sins, secret sins, sins of the heart, sins of the mind, all will be brought out into the open on that day. Now, aren't you glad you're not going to that one? Amen. A person can either choose to stand on their own record and face God in their unforgiveness, in their unforgiven sins, or they can come to Jesus and have their sins forgiven and the penalty of their sins removed. Praise God for that. Amen. Faith in Christ for the remission of sins and eternal life removes the penalty, folks. It's by his blood. Amen? So, Jesus' righteousness covers our penalty, wipes it out, so to speak. Praise the Lord. As far as the Father is concerned, when he looks upon us, when he gazes upon us, we are as righteous as his Son Jesus because of the covering of Jesus' blood. Amen? Over our lives. So think of it this way. When we, at the Bema seat, different judgment than the white throne, when we at the Bema seat of Christ, when we are there and our works go through the refining fire and our works are judged and perhaps the believer has not been very faithful with his or her spiritual gifts and has little or nothing after the Bema seat or the reward seat of Christ, they just don't have much. Even then, with our deeds or lack thereof, there will perhaps be a great asterisk or a footnote which says something to the effect this person is free and clear. Please reference the Book of Life. And then when you get to the Book of Life, perhaps that book says something like this: the blood of Christ has been applied, meaning their Calvary coupon has been punched, man. Has been punched. That brings me to the third book, right? You've got the Bible, you've got the Book of Deeds, and then finally the Book of Life, or the Lamb's Book of Life, as it is referenced, called both things, the Book of Life or the Lamb's Book of Life. This book contains the names of those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. When a sinner repents, when a sinner obeys the gospel, when a sinner finally breaks to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and they finally take Christ as Savior and Lord, their name is written in this book. Amen. This is the reason Jesus told His disciples to rejoice in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. It says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." This book records who has and who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior. Right? You either in it or you ain't. Right? Imagine the horror of standing there. The earth and the heavens have fled away. You're in some kind of courtroom limbo, some massive expanse carved out of eternity. You're hearing your sins recounted. Imagine being forced to admit your sins and the fundamental fact that you are a sinner. Then imagine Him opening the Lamb's Book of Life and showing you that every slot in that book is filled, but your name does not appear. You're not in it. Well, can you check my birth year again? Can you check my birth month again? Can you look under my alphabet, the last name of my first letter of my last name once again? Certainly, it's got to be in there, but it's not in there. It's not in there. It's got to be in there. It's not in there. I'm so sorry. Now, some would look at this, and they would look at this passage here in Revelation chapter 20, and they would mock it and make fun of it, and they would say, "That's just fantasy. You're making it up as you go." But if we take the Word of God as if we take it as truth, then what we have before us is not fantasy. What we have before us is a time of such horror that nothing in this life can even come close to comprehending it. You know, we talk about being sure when it comes to one's personal relationship to Jesus Christ. What we're talking about this evening is why. Why you need to be sure. Why you need to make sure that you really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, you need to be sure you're saved because you need to be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? So you see the defendants appearing at the throne. You see the documents used at the throne. And then finally you see the decision made at the throne. The last phrase in verse 13 kind of tells it all. "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, and every one of them according to their deeds." That last phrase tells it all. When the books are open, judgment is rendered based on the evidence found in the books. You can be sure that the evidence is accurate and that the record is complete. Every person that does not accept Christ Every person that does not break to that convicting power of the Holy Spirit, every person who does not obey the gospel, every person will stand on his own. And that's what you do not want to stand on your own, friend. Your own does not get it. Regardless of their excuses they use to justify they're not coming to Jesus today, why they didn't come to Jesus when they had a chance, why they didn't come to Jesus when it was offered, their excuses in that day, friend, that will not matter. You will stand under judgment by yourself. And can you imagine the excuses that are going to ping pong around that place? Well, I didn't like church. I didn't go to church. Someone hurt my feelings, or someone offended me, or you know, I didn't like the preacher, or I didn't like the music, or I didn't like the people, or I didn't like the building, or I didn't like where it was located. I just didn't like it. Excuses back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The lost person's judgments will come down to them and Jesus. That's what it always comes down to. Man, when you get saved, it's you and Jesus. You're in a relationship with Him. Amen? It comes down to you and Jesus. On the backside of this, when you have rejected Christ, it still comes down to you and Jesus. You either took Him as Savior or you're going to face Him as judge. Either way, it's you and Jesus. I could say it till you just blew in the face, and some people just don't get it. They just will not hear it, right? The bottom line is this. It's better that people come to Jesus in the age of grace, when there is still hope for salvation. It's better that people come to Christ in this day than in that day. Because, friend, when they come to Christ in that day, the hope is gone. There is no more hope. There is no more grace. Only nothing but judgment. So one wants to respond to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit comes upon the heart. One wants to respond to that, right? One wants to obey the gospel. They want to obey it. One wants to get saved. And then, once one is saved, one wants to carry that salvation and rejoice in that salvation and worship in that salvation and hold on to that salvation, realizing as you go through your life, that you're sure that you're sure that you're saved. Amen. You don't have to go through this life as a doubting Thomas. You don't have to have those doubts. And you say, preacher, are you trying to take my salvation away from me tonight? Are you trying to put doubts into my heart? Absolutely not. I'm trying to make sure that you're sure. Those of you with us online, trying to make sure that you're sure. Amen. Those of you watching this after the fact, trying to make sure that you're sure. Not trying to take away your salvation. If you have your salvation, trust me, friends, Pastor Lee can't take it away. I can't remove it. Right? But I do want to make sure that what you have is not some kind of religious experience, but it truly is born of the Spirit, right? You responded to the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you heard it, and you obeyed. Amen? Can't water it down, can we? Got to take it full strength on that deal. Amen? Well, that's our Bible study tonight, friends. We'll close it out, and we'll try to finish this passage on this coming Wednesday. Amen? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll pray for Ukraine. Absolutely. Amen. We'll pray for them as we close it out tonight. I have not kept up with the men at Mariupol. Has anything happened or transpired there? I know that they were in a bad way. Yes. What's going on? Feel the Holy Spirit in the church. Amen. 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 Very good. All right, let's go. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord, and we thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that we can be in your word this evening, Lord. As we had our time of prayer, we didn't mention Ukraine, and Lord, we don't want to leave here tonight without praying for the people of Ukraine, praying for that situation, praying for, Lord, your intervention and your hand upon that country and upon those folks trying to protect their democracy, trying to drive out the invader. Lord, so much property and so many lives have already been lost. We pray that you would give the military there, the Ukrainian military, you'd give them the resolve and the stick-to-itiveness, Lord, and you would give them the wisdom and the great strategic command to Lord, outsmart, to outthink, to outmaneuver, to out-military the Russians. Over and over again, Lord, this would happen in the coming days, in the coming months, and Lord, perhaps even in the coming years, to the point that the Russian military is just fed up. They can't do it anymore. They'd rather just go home and lick their wounds. We pray that would happen, that there would be a great withdrawal. There'd be a great retreat of Russian troops, and they would go back to their homeland, Lord. We pray that you might help the people of Europe and the people of Ukraine rebuild that country. We need their food, Lord, the food that they produce. We need their resources, Lord, the resources that they produce. The world needs them. That doesn't need to be locked up in a war for the next 2 or 3 years, Lord. So we're praying for deliverance. We're praying that you might deliver that democracy through this. And Lord, also we pray for the Spirit, Lord, that people would sense and feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, not to run around the congregation in a clockwise fashion, Lord, or to speak in any kind of an unknown tongue, but just to experience your Spirit. They don't need to be afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit in their life, in their heart. Just need to embrace it. Lord, be with your church. Be with your people. Help them, Lord. Help them as they're in the Word and help them as they go to you in prayer. May you touch them. Bring healing to their lives, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We give you this tonight, Lord. We thank you for this time. Thank you that you're with us this evening. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.